You're listening to the Yes, I'm Still Sober podcast with John Rabin. Hello and welcome to the 84th episode of Yes, I'm Still Sober podcast. I'm John Rabin. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. Just going to be with you for about 20 minutes here and talk about some shit, like I do. Don't have a whole lot, as opposed to having a whole lot for in 20 to 25 minutes. I don't know. But I do have notes. I do have a path that I'm going to follow in my rambling. So that's good. The plan for things and such. It's cold today here in Austin, Texas, and it's weird to be surprised by that at the beginning of February. Go, wow, it's under 60 degrees. This is unusual on February 5th. One more revisit, because I did a follow-up. I did an initial report on CBD, personal report. Then I did a follow-up. And I'm doing one more follow-up. I just wanted to mention one more thing because I've been having a couple of the CBD products, like the beverages, like the CBD-infused water, which, if anything, it's encouraging me to drink water, which I think that's... I think like a lot of people, that's like my biggest thing is I should probably drink more water. Like I'm not drinking sodas like I used to because, you know, 40s. I'm in my 40s. But I still have that issue with maybe don't drink so much coffee. Try water maybe, John. So I'm doing that. But I don't know if a lot of the effects... that you've like the calming effect. I don't know if a lot of that is a placebo effect when it comes to CBD. I don't know. I guess it depends, you know, each person is different. Because I just read a little blurb from an ex-heroin addict who is using like some heavy duty CBD products, like lots of oils and stuff. Like way more committed to the CBD products than me. And she's like reporting that it, you know, it has helped her, you know, stay sober and keep off of opiates. So, you know what? If it, that's the thing is that, you know, placebos work for some people. If it gets you in that mindset to, you know, because especially with CBD not having, there's not negative effects that have come to light at all for, you know, using it on a regular basis. I mean, we'll see in the future, I guess, if long-term effects, but I don't, you know, it doesn't make any sense that it would. So that's, you know, if you want to abuse a harmless what a choice. Abuse a harmless product versus, say, heroin. That's probably a good idea. So I support it. I do feel a little calming effect when I drink one of these, like at the end of the day. So, or middle of the day, like I'm doing today, because I didn't work today. But yeah. So I recommend them. Question mark? Give it a shot. Give it a shot and try to convince yourself that it really helps you. That's what, you know, I guess that's my recommendation. Think it's a miracle drug, a miracle product, you know, while you're consuming it. Sure. Maybe that'll help. So I'll go with that. Okay. So... my girlfriend and I watched Wolf of Wall Street last night, and she's seen it before, but I had not. So she's like, well, you're probably going to enjoy it. And it's 3 hours of sex and drugs. That's in stocks and fraud. It's not at all. I was like, after I finished it, I was like, oh, okay, I see why there was a lot of controversy about it. Because I even remember that. It was like, even though it was, what, 7 years ago when the movie came out, I still remember a lot of controversy around the movie because it's not really that much of a cautionary tale at all. Guy made millions of dollars, did all this just terrible shit. And, you know, self-destruction and just partying and all that. And great, you know, just had a blast, right? Had a few bad things happen to him and spent a whole 22 months in prison. In a minimum security prison where you could play tennis. Like, that's, you know, who, and apparently, because I saw an interview, he was like in a, like, cube mate with Tommy Chong. And that's why he ended up writing the book. It was like Tommy Chong encouraged him to write it, which is just so. And then now, and now he's a motivational speaker. So like, there's no, you know, you got him. Like, you know, crime doesn't pay. Like it, there's very, not a cautionary tale at all, which is fine. But it brought up a thing because he basically, you know, he ratted out everybody. I mean, kind of. Like, he still, you know, he still got himself in trouble, but, you know, because he didn't fully do it. But he still did. He still informed on everybody he got into the business that he could. You know, so he's being a rat. Yeah. And we were just kind of, you know, we were talking about it. And I brought the topic up about just, it seems like, and it's real easy to say, oh, this younger generation today are all a bunch of snitches. I think, you know, Bill Burr said that one time. I remember him just going, ah, it's a, you know, this generation, you know, millennials are just a bunch of rats. Because they are. Not the generation, but just everybody, to society today just encourages it even more. But I wouldn't put it on a generation. I think, you know, because everything that people accuse Generation Z or millennials of, they do as well. I mean, that's always bothered me. It just always has, the idea of accusing younger people of doing stuff that they also do. Maybe not them specifically, but people do. It's just, it's social media. It's they get caught up. They do the same thing. But the deal is this. It's just, it's always bugged me about being a rat and snitching on people. It's always been kind of a thing that's on both sides. People who are completely against anything remotely that they consider remotely informing on somebody, and people who have, you know, at no point are going to have no qualms about just being a huge tattletale. Like there's no reasonable, like, the whole idea is that if anything that you do that's not affecting you and you inform on somebody for personal benefit, that's what makes you a rat. It makes it, and the whole idea is that it's immoral. You've got no ethics. And it's strange to me because that's what, like, people have no idea. They think that it's like, oh, I'm going to be a crusader, so I'm going to out somebody who said a thing that I don't find to be good. So I'm going to evoke some justice by narking on them to their employer when they're not at work. It's their, you know, something that they do in their personal life, and now you're going to try to get them fired. not because anybody's in danger, just because, you know, this is what you want to do. And that's, you're just a fucking narc. And the other side of that is, like, I read, I don't know if you remember that incident with Suge Knight, like, tried to run over some, like, ran over a couple of dudes. And one of the guys who is in, who's actually in Training Day, is one of the gang members in Training Day. But he's like an ex-gang member who does, like, outreach programs to gang members and try to get them out of the game, basically. And but he, you know, he wouldn't testify at all, you know, against Suge Knight, because it's the whole idea of, and I get it why he didn't, because, you know, he's out there, because the perception would be, you know, how are you going to reach gang members and be cool with people if they all see you as, you know, as a snitch? But if you're not doing that, if somebody tries to run you over with a car, and then the cops go, "Hey, who tried to run you over with a car?" And you went, "That motherfucker right there," and you point at the guy who ran you over with a car. That is not snitching. trying to get, you know, that's trying to follow the process of justice. You know, that's not the same thing. They, you know, they've got it skewed because, you know, criminals and drug dealers, the whole, you know, they want people to not say shit to the authorities about them. So they, you know, they make it to where it's like, "Oh, you don't want to snitch me out." I was like, "Well, don't shoot at me. You know, I got shot by that guy. Hey, don't snitch." Well, don't shoot. I don't know. It's a bizarre thing just to see what, you know, how they think about how one thing's too much, you know, that it's all the same. And it really isn't. You know, I remember in rehab that they were trying to, you know, I got into an argument with a guy who would not, like, the scenario, I think, was if there was, you know, there was people dealing, like, seriously dealing and endangering people in your neighborhood and your family, would you call the cops on them? And the guy, the guy in the group said, just, you know, was flat out, he would never, you know, call the cops for any reason. You know, just not even in that scenario. Not even to protect his family, kind of a thing. And but the thing is, also, I kind of saw his point. Like, he would actually, you know, do it. He would actually take the law into his own hands, or, you know, try to organize. And it's also, it was a dumb scenario. It was like a scenario put together by, you know, somebody who has no idea what the fuck how things go on. You know, just like, oh, you know. Like there'd be a bunch of people, like, dealing drugs in a neighborhood, like, without any kind of secrecy, you know, trying to intimidate an entire neighborhood, which would never fucking happen. Like, it's just not, that's just not how, you know, we're going to scare everybody on the block. Yeah. Nobody will use their phone. And that just doesn't, you know, that's it's like, okay, sure. Yeah. That's how that works. But just the idea, there's a big difference between contacting the cops because somebody's, you're being directly harmed and affected by something, versus, you know, you see a thing and you don't mind your own fucking business and you narking on your coworker or something, you know. You see something, it doesn't affect you, but you tell your manager anyway to try to get them in trouble or get that corrected. That's, that's ratting. That's, I've done the reverse of that, though. I've actually heard management say something, and then I snitch out management to a coworker to make sure that they're going to be all right. You know, it's like, "Hey, watch your ass." That's, I don't consider that ratting. I consider that watching out for your bro. your fellow. It's like the man's coming, man. Chill out with that shit. The man's coming. You know, I don't know. Ethically, it just it's always bugged me, and I don't. I mean, just the idea that people don't see how it's not ethical, how being unethical is kind of poisoning yourself. But just keep your goddamn mouth shut. If it doesn't concern you, like, you're not making the world a better place by being a fucking tattletale. You're just not. And it really, and that's the whole thing. As I was thinking of these movies like Goodfellas and Wolf of Wall Street, like, they're both, you know, it's kind of like celebrating the rats, you know. At least The Irishman was about the guy informed on himself. And he's basically just telling, and he didn't do it to the authorities or anybody else. He just, you know, he said it to a guy to read the book, you know, to write a book about. And it was like the end of his life. And everybody he'd be incriminated was already dead. That was the whole thing, is at this point, he's like, you know what? I outlived everybody. Might as well talk shit now. Like, it doesn't matter. Everyone's dead. Like, that I could get behind. I'm like, yeah, but and I guess the whole idea is you celebrate, it's not so much that you celebrate people who have ratted, it's just that that's how you find out about it, the true stories. Like, there's probably all these true stories of guys who didn't say anything, you know. They're like, oh, I could tell you a story. I'm not going to. I'm going to go to prison and do my time. So I'm sure there's a whole lot of, could have been really great stories, but we're not going to hear about it because they actually kept their mouth shut. You know, but I guess that's just the way it is. If you're wondering why that does this have anything to do with sobriety, probably not. No, I think it does in a way, because I think the whole idea, a lot of times, unless you're not trying to better yourself at all, you know, be a better person in a way, or whatever the goal is. You know, now that, you know, for sobriety, you're in a position, all of a sudden you're very aware of your actions and your surroundings, and you feel feelings and all that shit. It's just nice to strive to be ethical. And it's very obvious to me that we live in a society that is very much snitches get riches, which is a very common, if you Google snitches get riches, it's very common and pulls up a lot of things, which just reinforces, you know, what it seems to me that's going on. Oh, that thing just dropped off. All right, that's fine. The spit guard or whatever that it is that from the just fell off the microphone. That's fine. Hope that's not a sign. But like, for example, there's a university, the University of Sheffield, which is Sheffield, England. So it's not here, but it's England. It might as well be here. They're going to pay students to report microaggressions, like watchdogs, you know. Their goal is to start conversations with people, but it's still, they're paying people to rat each other out. ICE wants people to, you know, very much want, you know, the way they work is by tips. By one citizen ratting on somebody else that they think may not be a citizen, whether they know or not. Crime Stoppers is based on, you know, it's like, hey, we can't actually do our jobs. Help. And it's just like, how far do you want to go? You know, why can't people just, you know, if you get in trouble, do your time, or mind your own business, does it directly affect you? Then, man, just, you know, try ethics for once. Try being a responsible person. And if you see something that needs to get taken care of, you know, why don't you say something? I mean, that's kind of, it's a coward move, isn't it? Anonymous tip because you don't want to deal with something yourself. I mean, and obviously I'm not talking about like some major serious, like, you know, crime, like assault, things involving guns, that kind of shit. Obviously I'm not talking about that, but just it really bothers me, man. And like so much that obviously I haven't made this funny, and I'm sorry. But snitches get riches. It's just, it sucks. All right. Anyway, I've gone on enough, but you get my point. Keep your mouth shut, everybody. That's, you know, just in general. Actually, it's not even informing on people. How about just don't talk so much. In general. Snitches get book deals. That's actually probably the most accurate. I don't know about riches, but they get book deals. I know it doesn't rhyme, but not everything that rhymes is true. One last thing I wanted to bring up, just to clarify, because I saw another article about it made me laugh because it was an article written. I think it was the Philadelphia Inquirer is where it was coming out, but it was like this. It's like a drug that can help, that may be able to prevent overdoses, you know, being sold on the street, kind of a thing. Like it's, and they were talking about Suboxone. But it was written in a very like, I just learned about this thing, and the shit's been around for years. But the idea is that it's still difficult to get Suboxone as a prescription because, you know, there's an idea that it could be abused, but, you know, they're still overlooking the fact that Suboxone, which has buprenorphine, you know, that it also has naloxone, and the naloxone allows you to, like, that blocks the receptors so that you can't, so that if you try to do heroin or any other opiate, it doesn't get you high. So it's the Suboxone. It's been, because I remember how hard it was for us to get it during my addiction, at the height of it. So that was 10 years ago, 10 or 11 years ago. And it seems like that hasn't improved that much. Like it's improved a little bit. And I think they're writing more and more scripts for it. Like, you know, if you go to a proper doctor and go through the proper channels, which, you know, got to be almost impossible for a junkie to do. And it's like, oh, I'm living day to day, scraping by. I'd like to get something that made me not go through withdrawal symptoms as harshly so that I could actually quit this shit. I've got to do what? I've got to go to a doctor's appointment. I don't have health care. It's a vicious cycle. So, but I wanted to bring up, looking at that, if, you know, for people who are wondering, hey, you know, what could I do about, because there are definitely some things that you can do for the opioid crisis. And we're not doing it, but there's, you know, funding, it wouldn't cost a whole lot compared to other programs. You know, people are like, it's a complicated topic. It is, but it's really not. There's three things that you need to look for and you can vote for. If it ever comes up, you know, and I don't know any of the process of getting it on a ballot or, you know, I, I'm just a goddamn comedian who used to do heroin. So, but I can tell you the three things that to look for, and if this is ever brought up to vote in your local elections or anything you want to support, the three things you should support: funding for grants for rehab for people who can't afford it, that they can get the rehab paid for them. Number two, funding for Suboxone to be able to be provided to people who need it. And funding and providing availability for fentanyl testing strips. That should be the big one. Fentanyl testing strips should be free, because there's no drug, you know, and if you can get it processed. And I think the one of the biggest issues is, you know, if you start providing testing strips that are faulty, you can risk lives and stuff like that. So I get that. But if you can provide fentanyl, and, you know, also it would have to be a test. The strip has to test for different, not just fentanyl, but different types of chemicals that have been slightly altered. So like different types of fentanyl. But if, you know, to really combat what's going on with fentanyl being put in, cut with in other drugs so that people don't know what they're taking, just for safety, to help fight overdoses with fentanyl killing so many people. I think fentanyl testing strips should be available. They should be plentiful, and people should just have them everywhere. It's just, those are the three things for me. Also, you know, and then I, as well as the opioid medication, the opioid overdose reversal, the naloxone, those injections or those inhalers. Those as well. So, opioid overdose reversal medicine, Suboxone, which helps alleviate cravings and keeps the withdrawal symptoms, which is what really makes people relapse even when they try to quit, and then fentanyl testing strips, and then of course funding to help people get into rehab. So if you hear any of those things, really consider supporting those financially or with votes. Just keep your eyes on that. And, you know, and if you're involved with any kind of organizations that are looking like, what can we do to help? Those are the ones. Those are the things you should do. So that's all I've got. I wanted to bring that up. Wanted to be kind of positive after talking about snitches for 15 fucking minutes. So I appreciate you sticking with me for that. And so thanks. Thanks for joining me this week. I've been doing this in my living room today with two cats staring at me, and it's been unnerving, but I don't think you could tell. Could you tell that I was kind of off put for the past 25 minutes? Cause they've just been looking at me and I don't know what the fuck they want. Cats, man. What are you going to do? Well, this has been, yes, I'm still sober. I'm John Raven. We'll see you next week. Later. Let's ride.